from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast. I don't know if I'm as good as sliced bread, but I could mispronounce a sliced bread, spiced bread, or spliced bread, and maybe we'd have spiced sliced bread and sell it by the seashore. Sliced, Scoots' bread, sliced, spiced, and I want to say diced. If you're making, what's that stuff called? Do you have at Thanksgiving? Stuffing. You do slice it, spice it, and dice it, and splice it too. Like, and I do actually with my, this is totally off topic, but for my stuffing, I do like to mix like a rye or a pumpernickel in a sourdough, just a little pro tip and totally seasonally out of date. You know what I'm talking about? Good question. You know why I'm talking about it? Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if I could really please have your attention for just a few minutes, and then when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, because this is the ways we keep the show going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. I wanted to congratulate Sam and Sam's family on the purchase of a new Casper hybrid mattress. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And it's funny because Sam and Sam's family is going to be supported in that wonderful Casper hybrid, the same one Scoots has got. And they're supporting the podcast that puts you and everybody else to sleep so it stays free for everybody. So I wanted to thank Sam for letting me know and let Casper know. And go to casper.com/sleepwith and use Sleep With at checkout to get $100 towards select mattresses. Terms and conditions apply. But thanks. And let me know when you support a sponsor like Casper. But that's it. This is the end of the part of the show. I need you to hear the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Thanks, everybody. Oh, Mystery Bard, I was wondering, there's a lot of people who work very hard on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer.
Thank you, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Also, you know, the huge way to help the show and help other people in your life is to share your honest experience with the podcast. If you need some ideas on how to do that, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/share. And I believe that's it. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physicals, you know, anything physical. So things you're thinking about, things you're experiencing emotionally, physically feeling, where you might be. You know, you could be traveling, someone else could be traveling. You could be a student. You could work the second or the third shift. You could be getting ready for whatever it is. I'd like to take your mind off of that. That's really the gist of the show, is to take your mind off of things while you fall asleep, to keep you company as you drift off into dreamland. And I don't usually use this word facilitate, but to create a safe place to facilitate all that. And it's really an important part of it is, even though it's a totem, a safe place, it's not really a totem. Theater of the mind is what totem stands for. But, it's a joint safe place that I'm carving out here and kind of saying, here's plenty of room. And the other ways I try to facilitate it establishation before facilitation. And I say, chim chimney, chim chimney, or chim chim cheree for sure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, nonsense, and nonsense words, or words that are in contextually nonsensical. Like you say, well, for a chimney sweep or a character in a musical or an actor or an actress in a musical, chim chimney, chim chimney, chim chim cheree makes sense. In the middle of a sleep podcast, when you were talking about something else that somehow you already forgot about, I don't even know what it would, nonsense words or whatever. That was my nonsense word. Okay, I got mixed up. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across, nonsense words. That's what, or nonsensically. Yeah, send my voice across the deep, lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders. And kind of like, there's a part of it that's nonsensical in a way to try to deflate the intensity at bedtime, to dial it down. You can hear me breathing, to give some levity, to give you some room, not just to breathe, but to unwind, to get some distance, and then to drift off. You're here, maybe because you heard about this podcast, and maybe you're a regular listener, glad you're here. Maybe this is your second or third time, anything. Maybe you occasionally use the show. But maybe I don't know if you're here because you're having trouble getting to sleep, falling asleep, staying asleep, in the middle of sleep, whatever it is, you deserve some rest. If you're here for a good night's sleep, you deserve that. If you're here for a break during the day, you deserve some room there to breathe too. And that's really why I'm here, is to help. Now, this doesn't work for everybody. So if you're new, and you're approaching the show with a healthy dose of skepticism or even an extra, and then you say, and a couple extra tablespoons of skepticism, totally makes sense. Like maybe you heard about this podcast and you said, what is it? It's a sleep podcast. Okay. And maybe this is already a little divergent from your expectations. It's a little bit different. Yeah, for sure. Who am I to kind of, I've been there. That's why I make the show. Also, my thoughts tend to be disjointed. So that maybe make you more skeptical at first. So all I can say is give it a few tries. If you're new, let me give you a couple other pieces of information. Structurally, the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free and going for over 6 years. So thanks, everybody. More important for regular listeners, if you're new, just to kind of like whatever, thanks for listening to that. Then there's an intro. Now, we're probably a couple minutes into the intro. The intro is like the wind down portion of the show, or, you know, for some listeners, and maybe this is me being, you know, idealizing things, because there's no wrong way to use this podcast. But, you know, I am a hopeless romantic when it comes to bedtime routines. Anyway, my bedtime routine, unfortunately, is hopelessly non-romantic. So I guess I got caught in my own pun. I was exposed by an accidental pun, but what was I saying? Like in my romantic version of it, which is much like my romantic bedtime anyway, is I picture listeners that kind of start the show, or there's like listeners that take care of dogs, either in a, like in professional or volunteer sense, like at a lot of places there's animals, people play the podcast. Now that's really romantic to me. I mean, in a, like a, I love animals, and knowing the podcast is playing is, you know, they wind down for the night and put their heads down. That really is touching to me, but also kind of just seeing listeners brushing their teeth and they kind of bare, you know, you can't really hear that great when you're brushing your teeth, but that's kind of, you know, you don't really need to hear me that great. And then, you know, they're ideally your flaw. Yep. Thanks. Dentists everywhere are actually giving me applause. Everybody, all my listeners floss, of course, dentists. You know, then maybe you do the rest of your skincare routine. If you do any, you know, I'm big on the, I'm aspirationally, one day, not only will I have a skincare routine, I'll have an elbow routine. I don't know why I romanticize bombing elbows, but I do. And the whole time this intro is playing, and then the listener gets into bed maybe, and maybe they're paging through something, or maybe they're doing, you know, it'd be hard. I guess you could journal this in this podcast, but as I said, maybe you're doodling, you know, getting your temperature set, getting your blanket set, maybe dimming the lights. And that, so the intro for a lot of listeners is part of the wind down, I guess was my point. Statistically speaking, like I think 2 or 3% of people skip the intro to about 18 minutes and start the show there. And some listeners fall asleep during the intro, and I think a lot of those listeners become patrons, you know, that way you keep the show going. And so some new people, like when you're new, the intro kind of, it can definitely throw you off because it's not super efficient, just because I found bedtime and getting to bed is inefficient. So it's about a 12 or 14 minute wind down where I just kind of try to explain the podcast in a slow, easy motion, get lost in my discursive thinking, try to come up with goofy metaphors. Then I forget what metaphor I made at the beginning of the show. That already happened. Then I'll try to come up with another metaphor. I may talk to imaginary friends, take phone calls from imaginary beings, which feel to me very real. A lot of friendly banter. So that's the intro. But it's a big part of the show for a lot of listeners, and it's kind of something that's grown out of listener feedback, and that's, you know, it's optional, like those regular listeners know that. So that's the intro. Then tonight after the intro, we'll have, there's some business tucked between the intro and the show. Again, you're winding down, keeps the show going. Then tonight we'll be talking about Doctor Who, I think season 2, episode 11 or 12, somewhere in there. Episode with the Olympics in it, and it'll be very indirect discussion of the episode. Not really any spoilers, not really any points. We'll just talk about road work and crayons and things like that. So it'll kind of barely resemble the original episode. Maybe talk about some stuff I had to look up and say, huh, I wonder what that meant. Or, oh, that's what they call that in England. What do they call it in the U.S.? Or things, you know. Say, okay, what are some factoids about the 2012 Olympiad? You see, Scoots, actually, it's the 60, and I say, thank you, brain. So that'll be the episode portion, then at the end of the show is some thank yous. So that's structurally what to expect. And here's the good news. This podcast doesn't really have a lot of rules. People use it in tons of different ways. There's people that listen to 10 episodes a night. There's people that listen to the same episode over and over. And like I said, we've talked about other use cases. This is one podcast you don't really need to listen to. And ideally, I just get enough of your attention to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake. I walk at your side, stand at your side, sit at your side, sit nearby, sit across the hall, across the room, whatever you're comfortable with, and keep you company as you drift off into the arms of Morpheus. So you don't need to listen to me. And yeah, there is a percentage of listeners either that don't understand anything I'm saying or that turn me way down to a mumble. But there's also no pressure to fall asleep. This is, I guess, the paradox is like, you don't need to listen, but you can. You might not hear any of the story, but the story or the journey of this Doctor Who episode will be complete because there is no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here about an hour. You could queue up 10 hours of episodes if you need them. I'm here to keep you company. I'm here for those listeners that can't sleep just as much as for the ones that are deep, deep asleep. And oh boy, do you look good sleeping so deeply. It makes me so happy because I know, you know, that you're resting. But those of you that aren't, I'm here too. And you, by the way, you look great too. Did you bomb your elbows tonight? Oh boy. So I'm here. No pressure to fall asleep at all. You fall asleep at your leisure or not. I mean, I'm here to keep you company. I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I'm someone that's struggled with sleep on and off in tons of different ways, including this one, which the podcast, this might be one of the few use cases the podcast is not good for, or might be good for the wind down portion is like the 30 minutes before your alarm wake up. That's what's been going on with me this week. And I'd say that's great that you're really waking up right before that alarm, but, not part of what we planned or discussed last night. So no, really, if you say, I'm glad there's some sort of go-getter inside me, but I'd prefer you do any of your go-getting or getting or going after the alarm. As much as I loathe the alarm and like to wake up without it, it's really there as a aspirational thing. You see, when that alarm goes off, that's like the idyllic. We've been asleep for 8 hours exactly. And I know it's partially cognitive dissonance, but I'd really appreciate it if you just, I don't know what we're going to do for those 30 minutes anyway. You know, I think about like, I've seen the ceiling, so I got a good view of it. Okay, we could talk about it later. You're right. I'm doing a podcast intro. So anyway, my main point is I'm glad you're here. I really hope I can help you, you know, especially if you're new, but if you're a regular listener, I'm so glad you're back. And I'm so glad you give me this opportunity to keep you company and to help you drift off. I work very hard. I strive and I yearn. You know what? I take this nonsense seriously for this opportunity to be nonsensical seriously. So thank you so much for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. All right, everybody. They were talking about Series 2, Season 2 of Doctor Who. If you're watching it on Amazon, it's episode 12. If you're watching it somewhere else, it's probably episode 11. I have the alternative working title here, Her Olympics. But it also has a different title. It was a really enjoyable episode. Olympic themed a little bit, blue and cloudy sky. It opens with happy music. It was actually a blue sky with clouds, which I said, like last episode was about ELO, Mr. Blue Sky. We see a banner that says London 2012 Olympics or Olympics 2012 London or 2012 London Olympics or 2012 Olympics of London. And then what do we see? A mail person. There's road repair going on. At first, I thought the mail person was doing food delivery, but then I said, no, I think that's mail delivery, not because this is 2012. It wasn't like one of the food delivery services. Though it could have been filmed. I don't actually know when it was filmed. We see a baby in a pram, kids playing soccer in their yard, a dog washing. Oh, dad is washing a car. We see someone with her hand on a second story window looking out. A woman looks around. Then I think there's a spin cam. A doctor can't help DK. Can't you feel it? Go inside. I don't know what DK means. Ad. Maybe, is that an ad? No. Yeah, but what happens is... I just saw the spin cam. It's a woman. She's walking with her basket. And she knows something's coming. She says something's happening. She's surprised why nobody else notices it. Her name's Maeve, actually, just like the famous lamp post named Maeve, if you listen to Everything is Alive podcast. Oh, yeah, they say, you want us to call a doctor? She says, no, doctor can't help with this. She says, don't you feel it? It's in the air. And she tells everybody to go inside. We hear Kookaburra, a girl singing that song. We see a boy in a Union Jack polo, or was a t-shirt, I wasn't sure. The girl that was singing is also drawing. Laugh, Kookaburra. Spiegel writing. I don't know I'm not sure what that says, but then the dad is dismissive of the woman, Maeve. Does this say goad or road or... Oh, goal. We go back to the girl who's drawing. She's really into it. And then she finds a way to take the boy with the Union Jack out of the goal, the soccer goal, and put him in a drawing for fun, for total fun purposes. He's not so sure about it, but then the episode opens. It's by Matthew Graham. Then we see, after the open, the two blue, not crates, what are those called? Like storage containers, like shipping containers almost, that are almost the same blue. The TARDIS is in between them, like just a little bit less than wedged in there so that they can't open the TARDIS door, which I guess this would be trivia. The TARDIS door opens outward. And so then the TARDIS dematerializes and rematerializes with the door turned. A doctor goes out. He has his brown pinstripe suit on, but he does not have a tie. He says, Rose looks at a Shane Ward poster, like postal bills. Shane Ward bills are posted for an upcoming Shane Ward show. It's the near future because the actor says, yes, time for the 30th Olympiad in London. He said, I had a passing fancy, but didn't pass. So we came here. They talk about a Club Med. The doctor seems like only yesterday I was at the original Olympics, with the Greeks. And he wants to go to the opening ceremony, like I thought they'd like it. He was also at the one in 1948 at Wembley, looking for carrying the torch. He loves cakes with ball bearings on there, little cakes with crunchy ball bearings. They're on a thoroughly ordinary street, I think the doctor mentions. But then, of course, Rose realizes. She says, it feels cold. And then what does it say? What makes you think it is a person? But why is it so cold, the doctor says. Someone reducing the temperature. And then they realize they were brought there for a reason. Rose says, what makes a person do something? And the doctor says, what makes you think it's a person? And then the doctor runs off to Fool Fields, something with his field goal, the football goal, with his fingers. A car stalls out by Rose for the fifth time today. I don't know what that says. I thought it said bonkers, but it might say benders or bounders. Maybe it's this gentleman's name. Let's see. Their car, as a Cooper Mini, ran out. The gentleman working says fifth time today. He says, let me give you a push. The guy says, I just got my car tuned up. I don't even know what happened. Oh, he does say, it's bonkers, bonkers. And then Rose helps him push the car. It starts after they get it going a little while. Doctor tickles something. Doctor tickles his fingers. Let's see. Dad, what you came, can't come. The doctor talks about the game, shoots and ladders by another name. A gentleman talks about tarmacking every pothole. They talk about the torture is going to be nearby. That's why he's been making the streets look good. Oh, yeah, the doctor senses some tickles in his fingers. No, the dad comes and says, why are you standing in my kid's goal, dude? What's your game? And the doctor goes, well, I'm good. Oh, shoots and ladders, squash. Those are the games I like to play. He goes, I'm being facetious, though. Sorry. I've got a colleague, Lewis, who's Rose, because the dad's acting like, the doctor's like using his psychic paper. He says something like, it's right here. Then it's like an argument between the city, the council workers and the people that live on the streets. And the guy from the council says, stop picking on me and stop blaming me. And then the doctor says, everybody put your fingers on your lips. And then he says, come on, this was a good street. Not a person. Please look. Then we see the person looking out the window. The doctor does some sniffing like a dog. He sits right here among us. Metal smell, the doctor says. Hairs on the back of my neck or back of my head. I'm sensing an awful lot of power. Then we see the young girl who's been drawing. Her name's Chloe. She's drawing a cat with Dale, the boy in the Union Jack shirts. And let's see, who looks frowny? Dale looks frowny. And then she says, he made Dale a frowny cat, which will make him happy. Then I put man torch watch. Chloe does not come. I'm busy, mom. So I think her mom, here's that I'm watching. Everybody has their fingers on their lips now. And then Maeve asks doctor for permission to speak. She says, look around. This used to be a great street. And I don't know if Chloe's mom was portrayed in a specific way or not, but, she's definitely aloof, in this episode. So I don't know if that was intentional or not. But Chloe, like in her mom says, she goes, mom, unless you want me to draw you, stay out of my drawing business. I don't want to watch the Olympic torch. Rose sees a cat. Doctor says, oh, this is definitely not a person. Because the cat goes to another dimension. Let's see what else come up here. The cat sneaks into a box and then goes into the drawing land with Chloe. Doctor says, blimey. We got to find the source of the power that's drawing everybody into the drawings. Well, they don't know everybody's in a drawing yet. They just know they're being drawn away. Find the source of power. Keep up pockets, Lewis. The doctor's still calling Rose Lewis, like they're looking into stuff. He says some other thing, like a typical, like a copper would in a show. Keep up something, Lewis. Chloe talks, scolds kids. Oh, she scolds the kids in her drawing. And then she gets frustrated. She makes a big scribble. Oh, Daisy Fairweather is the person currently carrying the torch. Then Rose goes up to a garage. She hears some sort of noise in the garage. And she says, I'm not going to open it, not going to open it, not going to open it, not going to open it. And then she opens it, and the scribble flies out like a flock of birds. The doctor zaps it with a sonic screwdriver. This answered a question from the last episode, because the doctor and Rose have a big hug. So that was, I said, okay, so Rose and the doctor do have a physical connection. Let's see what else they put the dialogue. So let's see what they talk about here. Let's see. Okay, that was a scribble. Maybe it was an ionic scribble being. Huh. The doctor, oh, they tested back at the TARDIS. Oh, it's the same material as graphite pencil. Oh, doctor calls it so dinky. Yeah, it comes from the same energy. So it's graphite. So they do determine, Rose goes, well, what if it was from a child's drawing? You said it was on the street. Oh, the girl upstairs looking out the window. And her mom looked like she had something on her mind. And then the doctor goes, are you deducing or deducting? And Rose goes, I am. A copper's hunch. Permission to follow it up, Sarge? Well, I didn't look this up, HB pencil, but that was interesting. Why make a scribble creature, scribble being like Charles? Are you deducing? They go to the house, knock, knock, knock. Repurpose move. What does that mean? Talk with mom. Oh, they do a reverse, like the reverse psychology move. They knock on the door. They say, hey, mind if we check in with your daughter? She says, no. They say, all right, no problem. And the doctor walks off with Rose, and then they say, well, why do you want to see Chloe? And they say, the doctor goes, well, I just thought I'd look into it. Something going on here. Thought she could help. Sorry, we'll just move on. You can handle it yourself. And then Trish, the mom, says, well, can you help? And we get a little backstory while Rose goes sneaking around the house and then hides in a linen closet. Chloe goes out of her room. Rose sneaks into her room. It's a nice room. Lots of kids' stuff, lots of kids' drawings of kids. Rose knocks over the pencil. She notices the kids' faces have changed. So she says, oh, these kids are in these drawings. Doctor's getting backstory downstairs. Chloe's getting milk. Rose goes, how are you doing, Chloe Weber? And she goes, I'm busy, as a matter of fact. And Trish goes, Trish talks about Chloe like she's not there. Doctor gives her the Vulcan salute. I had to look that up. I was calling it Spock hands. And Chloe says, she's not trying to help the drawings, but they don't stop moaning. Chloe's a little bit irritated with her mom. Rose looks into like a wardrobe, and there's a big drawing in there. Chloe says, doctor, hit the road. I'm busy. Doctor calls her a spoil sport. What's the project? Glowing eyes. Chloe drew a drawing with glowing eyes. Rose calls the doctor because she says, I don't like this looks of this drawing. It's a drawing in her closet or wardrobe. And the mom says, you guys got to leave out of the house. I think Chloe gives a little hint because she talks about herself in the plural, us. She refers to herself, kind of her and her mom, but also just to herself as us. Mom's in a bit of denial about everything. Doctor tries to break through the denial. I'm here to help. Doctor starts to exit jelly or something. Oh, I don't know if he was eating brown sauce or jelly in the kitchen. Rose and the mom and the doctor talk. The doctor does a ton of staring and thinking. And then, speaking of Spock, they go back to Chloe's room. The doctor does a bit of like a mind meld so he can talk to another being that's living with Chloe. And he says, now we can talk. Also, Chloe gave the doctor the Vulcan salute back before he did the Vulcan mind meld. And there's another being with Chloe. Doctor says, I'm here in compliance parlay with the shadow proclamation. Chloe says, I don't care about shadows or parlay. It turns out that the being living with Chloe is called Isolus, which is a Let's see what I get. Chloe does mind meld. Parlazies. I think even that term got used. Like a bit of a Gollum turn. Lonely. Isolus is lonely. Far from home. Part of like a collective being takes thousands of years for these isolus, which are like kind of like seed pods a bit. They're from an empathetic planet of community beings. They fly on solar tides, thousands of years to grow up. While they travel, they play with each other in this imaginary empathy thing. They run on the fuel of love, or they feel each other's love, but a solar flare kind of knocked this particular isolus off the chart. It was drawn to the heat in the street while they were patching the streets. And they empathized with Chloe. And but this is, you know, this being does not belong there. So they say, well, you got to get back. Of course, this isn't easy on Chloe. So then they sing Kookaburra to calm her down. Then this, we see a bunch of Chloe's marker and pen collection. We get back more backstory. Mom. Oh, I think the pretty big fonts, 4 billion Zoe. Watching 80,000 crowd looking for the pod. But there's something, I don't know what any of that means, to be honest with you. Marker and pen collection and backstory. Okay, so hint to mom, yeah, the Isolus is from a big family, 4 billion people. So that's what Zoe's, the Isolus is going to want to find a bigger family soon. Then they're watching the opening games, a crowd of 80,000. Rose and the doctor go out looking for the pod, you know, wherever the Isolus's little ship came. And Zoe sneaks out of the house. She sees the TARDIS and the doctor. The doctor and Rose are on the TARDIS looking for like a search device to find the pod. The doctor says, there are two lonely mixed up kids, the Isolus and Chloe. We got to help them. Because Rose kind of speaks for the audience's skepticism in some way. He says, why should we help these two? And the doctor says, they're just mixed up. They use a binary dot and some wormhole reflectors or something. Chloe, I put Zoe there, but she has stashed pencils everywhere and pens hidden in her room. The doctor drops a huge hint. I was a dad once. Even though they're in the middle of something, the doctor changes the subject. He says it in passing, and Rose gives a WTF look. Fear and loneliness, doctor says, those are powerful things. And most of all, you need a hand. To hold. Again, beautiful language in there. Everything is coming up, doctor, he says, like a gull's egg. But then the doctor gets it. Chloe draws the doctor into a drawing. Doctor into drawing is in something, and Rose is not happy. Oh, they weren't happy because Rose, they said, don't leave Chloe alone and don't let her draw anything. And then the mom's like, why? Mom must have been a big Olympics fan because she's like, I'm watching the Olympics and having a glass of soda. Does try to chill doctor's hands in pockets. Rose tries to chill out. Doctor's hands are in the pockets in the picture. Rose says again, don't leave her alone. She goes out to talk to Kel, who's a guy looking at the road. He's working on the road. He's fixing it again. There was a good joke. He said, I could write the big book about tarmacking. He goes, every six days, this is 6 days goes the first pothole fix. So they realize, Rose realizes that that's when the whole thing started. So she's like, where's the first pothole? And then let's see what the dialogue was. Pretty good. Cause she says, I'm going to dig it up. And he says, no, state, you can't, this is, you know, council property van, you know, Rose says, don't worry. I'll dig up the panel. You can put it back. It went for the hottest thing in the street, your tar in the pothole. And she pulls out, it looks like a shell. And she goes, Kel says, what is it? She goes, it's a spaceship. Rose finds that Chloe's drawing again. She's alone. So her mom's back, you know, a little bit aloof. She talks to the she takes the starfruit moon. Mom's downstairs having a drink, empty state. Oh, so Chloe takes the, empties the whole Olympic opening game stadium. She paints, draws the whole stadium, which they said it, before it happened, was 80,000 people and 30,000 athletes. Bob in a box. They say, back to you, Bob. WTF. Rose and pickaxe. Pictures are moving. Doctor, more than heat. The torch is a beam. So they're trying to figure out, okay, Rose wants to get the doctor out of the picture. And to do that, they got to get Chloe or the Isolus back to, you know, outer space. And it's like, okay, it doesn't just need heat. And the Rose is working with the doctor's painting. And then the Olympic opening games is going on TV. They say, oh, the torch is more than just a beacon, or more than heat. It's a beacon of hope and love. And this handwriting is still going towards random empty. What Durr's timing? Let me see if I can look that up. Let's see. Okay, here it goes. Needs more than heat. The Isola says, Rose says once. Kel says, I see the picture move. But it needs more hope, more than heat, doctor. That's when they say it's more than a torch. It's a beacon of hope, fortitude, and courage. A beacon of love. And then Rose knows how to charge the pod. So she runs out to the route. She goes, I got to get closer. I can stop everything. Meanwhile, Chloe's trying to get more family members, 4 billion or whatever. She's drawing the globe. So there's a ticking clock now. The pod is making noises. Rose says, you can feel the love, can't you? And Rose throws a pod and it flies into the torch. And the torchbearer goes to a knee and then keeps going. And then we go to Chloe's room and the Isolus leaves her. It says, I can go home. Goodbye, Chloe Weber. I love you. Chloe's back. She kind of reconnects with her mom. Let's see, pop beeps. Perfect throw. Feel the love. Goodbye, Chloe Weber. I love you, mommy, she says. Everyone gets out of the pictures. There's big music, big hugs. Everybody's reunited. Stadium's filled, but the doctor's missing. Maeve is back on the street. She's all happy. Yeah, all drawings are back to normal. Isolus energy, not alone. Sing, doctor. I don't know what that meant, but you know, the Isolus is getting to go back home. The doctor's still missing. The Olympics are back on the TV. They say, thank goodness, Bob. Good to have you back. Bob says, I think it was in a drawing. And then they say, where's the dude with the dude who can't run anymore with the torch? And then in a total moment of joy, I guess, the doctor scoops up the torch. The doctor does, and starts running with it. He's carrying the flame. They say it's more than a flame. It's hope, courage, love. There's big cheers and grins. The doctor runs right into the Olympic Stadium, lights the Olympic flame. The Isolus flies out. Everyone's in the streets with joy. Cake with ball bearings. Rose says to the doctor, he says, tap banana. And then there's big hugs, and then there's quite the tease. Because we see, let's see, how's it close? Cake, tap banana. Ball bearings, you can eat, masterpiece. And Rose goes, I thought you were gone. Kind of, and the doctor goes, not on a night like this. This is a time for lost things to be found. He goes, let's go to the games. And Rose goes, who does good and what? And then they joke. And the fireworks just start. And Rose says, you know what, doctor? We'll never be split up. And then the doctor says, never say never. And Rose goes, well, what was that about being a father? She doesn't say that, but she says, we'll never split. Don't you reckon, doctor? And the doctor goes, there's something in the air. A storm's approaching. And the episode comes to a close. Okay, so let's check the 2012 Olympics. I think I have this game on Wii with Mario and Sonic. It was 2012 Summer Olympics, the 30th Olympiad, known as London 2012. July 27th to August 12th, 2012. Women's football was the first event held at a Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. And followed by the Olympic ceremonies on the 27th of July. The bid was held by Kent, the mayor of London, and Olympian Sebastian Coe. They won over New York, Madrid, Moscow, and Paris. The first city to have modern Olympics three times. The last two times were 1908 and 1948. Let's see. There was a lot of work that went into it, and rebuilding and reuse of venues, widespread acclaim for the organization. Opening ceremony was directed by Danny Boyle. Michael Phelps won this 22nd medal. Let's see. Anything else? Bidding process. We don't need to know about that. Oh, you just barely beat out Paris. That was really close. Yeah, development, venues, Hyde Park. You have a lot of stuff that we could, you know, I'll link to it. They tried to get their public transit, upgraded to public transport to get ready. They ran a cable car across the Thames. I don't know if that's still up or not. The plan was to have 80% of athletes have to travel less than 20 minutes to their event, and 93% less than 30 minutes. Let's see what else here. Cost, of course, that was expensive. Ticketing, countdown, medals. Oh, torch relay. Here we go. The Olympic torch ran from May 19th to the 27th of July before the Games. Plans were developed in 2010 and 2011, and the torchbearer selection process announced on 2011, May 18th. They May 18th, 2012, the flame arrived at in Cornwall from Greece on a flight called Firefly. And on the flight, the flame was carried inside of four minor lamps supplied by a lamp company from Manchester. The relay lasted 70 days with 67 celebrations, six island visits, 8,000 people carrying the torch, starting from Land's End in Cornwall, 3 days outside the UK when it visited the Isle of Man and Dublin and Guernsey in Jersey. It focused on national heritage sites with sporting significance. Let's see. Dumfries and Galloway were the only regions in the UK that had it passed through twice. And it was actually lit together with a few different torchbearers. Opening ceremony. Opening ceremony began at 9 p.m. British Summer Time, which is UTC plus one. It was called the Isles of Wonder. It was Danny Boyle and music direction by Rick Smith, opened by Elizabeth II with Prince Philip. It was the second games the Queen had opened personally, the first being the 1976 Games in Montreal. It included a short comic film with Daniel Craig, the Queen, and Rowan Atkinson as Mr. Bean. There's a bunch of performers, and then the closing ceremonies around the 12th of August. So that's a little bit about the 2012 Summer Olympics. What about Pram? Pram is for a four-wheeled what do you call the thing? Conveyance for children, baby transport. But it's also a small, shallow drop, flat bottom ship, or a boat with a transom bow rather than a pointed bow, which makes sense because I don't think prams are pointed. Kookaburras are terrestrial kingfishers native to Australia and New Guinea, which can grow to 28 to 42 centimeters. It's an onomatopoeia of their call, Kookaburra. Loud, distinctive call of laughing kookaburra is a widely used sound effect in movies for will take place in Australia. Let's see, there's the rufous-bellied kookaburra, the spangled kookaburra, blue-winged kookaburra, laughing kookaburra, and the shovel-billed kookaburra. They eat small forest friends. It doesn't look like they're under any kind of, it says they're listed as least concerned. The Australian law does protect native birds. They're famous because their laugh sounds very human. They were one of three mascots in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney. The other was, it was Sid the Platypus, and Millie the Chinda. There's a famous book, The Mystery of the Laughing Shadow. There's, of course, the famous song, which we'll get into. And I guess that's the extent of some facts about the kookaburra. This is all from Wikipedia, everything that we've done so far. Kookaburra. Also known as Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree. It's a popular Australian nursery rhyme and round about the kookaburra. It was written by Marion Sinclair in 1932, who was a music teacher. And she had a sudden inspiration in church, dashed home, wrote the words to kookaburra, and entered the song in a competition run by the Girls Guide Association of Victoria with the rights of the winning song to be sold to raise money for the purchase of a camping ground. The song's well known around the world. Copyright status, still under copyright. I think that's about it. Like, I can't sing on the podcast. So, and I know a long time ago I reread the words to it. Who's Matthew Graham? Matthew Graham was on the credits for this episode. Is a British television writer. Also a co-creator of the great show Life on Mars, which came out in 2006. And there was actually like a U.S. Version of it too. There's also a spinoff, Ashes to Ashes. He's worked on other shows, Bone Kickers, a 6-part drama series about archaeology set in Bath. And I think that's it. What do we got? Like, did an episode of EastEnders. Let's see, a couple more Doctor Who episodes. Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. So just a little bit from Wikipedia about Matthew Graham. What about Shane Ward? Shane Ward looks a little bit like Rob Cesternino, actually. Shane Ward, born in 1984, English singer and actor. Best known for his role as Aidan Connor on Coronation Street from 2015 to 2018. He was the winner of the second series of X Factor. His debut single came out in 2005. That's My Goal. Went to Christmas number one charts. It was the first X Factor winner to release an original song as a winner single. Original song, I mean. Signed on to Simon Cowell's record label, hit platinum in the UK, 4X platinum in Ireland, also two more hit singles, No Promises and Stand By Me, Also had a hit with the follow-up album Breathless. After a little hiatus in 2010, the third album came out. We started to go to TV fame. And I would say definitely Easy on the Eyes. His shirt's open on, Wikipedia. So, now what about Club Med? I don't know. Like, the only thing I knew about Club Med, I guess, was Wrong. I thought it was a thing in the 80s that single people used to go to for vacations. But it turns out, looking at this one, it's a private company headquartered in France, a premium all-inclusive holidays, started in 1950 by a Belgian entrepreneur, Gerard Blitz. It was a low-priced summer colony of tents. Then the first official Club Med was built in Italy. The members stayed in unlit straw huts on the beach, sharing communal washing facilities, but it's been upgraded. In 1961, Baron Rothschild visited it and enjoyed it. They opened winter villages in Switzerland and Tahiti, Mediterranean, Caribbean, and Florida. Originally attracting many singles and young couples, then it became a destination for families in the 60s. Because I guess, I don't know, when the 80s, I thought it was like some, I thought it was really fancy. In the 90s, there was too much competition, so they went on the decline. Then from a holiday village company to a services company, they've tried to change, then they've had gyms, restaurants, and clubs. But that strategy was not successful. 2015, it was acquired. Let's see what else we need to know. Villages, there's family resorts, resorts for everyone, and resorts for adult only. Exclusive collection. In popular culture, the phrase Club Med, a cheap holiday for other people's, this is like, and then the Sex Pistols had a song about it too. It was satired in a film called Les Bronzes, released in English as French Fried Vacation. Another movie with Jim Carrey and Alan Thicke. Copper Mountain, a Club Med experience, was a quasi-commercial for the Club Med Village at Copper Mountain, Colorado. In 1986, there was a TV movie, Club Med, with Linda Hamilton and Jack Scalia. So, I don't know, I still don't know anything about it. Maybe there's some other, maybe there was a different thing that I'm thinking of. But I guess it just seems like an all-inclusive resort, I guess, because once somebody copied that, then that's when their fortune, you know, it's like, oh, we could just give you free alcohol and food. I guess maybe cruise ships probably were competition. Okay, so this is a website, myblueprint.com, My Blueprint. This is by Jesse Olson Moore from November 17, 2018. And I'll be paraphrasing everything you wanted to know about sprinkles. And there's tons of stuff. There's round sprinkles, nonpareils or whatever. Teeny tiny balls, rainbow of hues. Nonpareil means without equal in French or pareil, whatever. British have their own name for these orbs, hundreds and thousands. Hundred thousands, I think I've heard that. This is possibly the cutest way to say sprinkles. Then there's cylinder sprinkles. These are made by excluding sugar paste and long skinny ropes. In some parts, these type of sprinkles are referred to as a jimmy. Then there's the balls the doctor likes. It's Dragees. Dragees. It's a confection with a hard outer shell. The name comes from a term for sugar-coated pills, but really any candy-coated garnish could be a form of dragée from Jordan Almond's M&M's. But when it comes to cake, people will think of these as the metallic-toned ones resembling ball bearings. And you got to make sure, check the ingredients. They say sanding sugar. I don't even know what that is. Translucent, available in a variety of colors. Larger grain than white sugar. Oh, adds a nice light touch. Crystal sugar is a sanding sugar's older sibling. Translucent in many colors, but larger and coarser. Yeah, pearl sugar looks a bit like dragées. Shaped sprinkles, they can come in any shapes, stars, and etc. So that's just a little bit about sprinkles. What about the game Chutes and Ladders? It also is known by other names, but we won't worry about those ones, of course. Oh boy, hold on, I just messed up. I just pressed the wrong button. Chutes and Ladders, and then we'll talk about one other thing after that. It's actually an ancient Indian board game, now worldwide classic. It does go by other names. Two players on a game board having numbered gridded squares. A number of ladders and chutes are on each board connecting two specific board squares. The object of the game is navigate one's game piece from the bottom to the top, helped or hindered by the chutes and ladders. The game is a bit like basically a race to see who can get to the top first based on sheer luck, popular with young children. The historic version had roots in morality lessons, where the player's progression up the board represented a journey through life via virtue, ladders, and chutes, vice. Yeah, mostly it's played on a board. Originated in India as a part of a family of dice board games, maybe at the same time as Ludo and Parcheesi. Milton Bradley started putting out in 1942, but you could see them in the National Museum in New Delhi has a very older version of the game. So that's cool. And then let's finish with the Vulcan salute. You know, let's say goodnight on that. Vulcan salute is a popular hand gesture popularized in the 60s to show Star Trek, raised hand with palm forward, thumb extended, while the fingers are parted between the middle and the ring finger, devised by Leonard Nimoy. New York Times interview said it was a double-fingered version of Churchill's victory sign. And Nimoy said in that interview that he decided Vulcans were a hand-oriented people. First appeared on the second season opening episode, Amok Time, A-M-O-K-T-I-M-E. The gesture is known for being difficult for certain people to do properly without practice or the covert prepositioning of fingers. I can do it on my left hand. On my right hand, I would have to preposition the fingers. Difficulty may stem from variations in manual dexterity. It was parodied in Star Trek First Contact when Zefram is unable to do the gesture and then shakes a Vulcan's hand. In the autobiography, I Am Not Spock, Nimoy wrote that he replaced it on the priestly blessing performed with both hands thumb to thumb after the Hebrew letter Shin, or Shin, S-H-I-N, which has three upward strokes, is similar to the position of the thumb and fingers in the gesture, which stands for Almighty, and as well as Shalom. According to Wikipedia, Nimoy wrote that when he was a child, his grandfather took him to an Orthodox synagogue where he saw the blessing performed and was impressed by it. Others often greeted Nimoy with the Vulcan sign. And it became so well known that it was, in 2014, it was added to version 7 of the Unicode standard, U+1F596. So maybe that's how you do the emoji. And so that's a little bit about that. And I give you the Vulcan salute, the vocal Vulcan salute. Live long and prosper. Good night. I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts, either in their phone or on iTunes on their desktop. Snapperoo from Australia says, I love, been using it for over a year on and off when I have trouble getting to sleep, stops my head swirling, and helps me get a good night's rest. Thank you. a cool gamer 2362, who's really cool gamer number one in my book from Australia, says, thanks, Scoots. Trouble sleeping. Sometimes would stay up for 2 hours. When I found out about sleeping, I fell asleep so much faster. It's awesome. I've been using it ever since. Thank you. That comes from 1708 podcast listener. Someone listening since 1708. Must be a time traveler. They're from the UK. Podcast helps me so much. Been better than lying awake in the bed daytime. Tay says best sleep aid, bad insomnia. Used to listen to Welcome to Night Vale, but some, you know, sometimes it'd be interesting or adventurous. Just Cecil's voice is like more like sweet, buttery, dulcet tones. And Scooter's got those skooky, dulcet tones. But now I realize why it's loved. It helps me fall asleep. Recommended it to my cousin. Even the credit song I enjoy. And I love how smooth it is. Thank you so much. Comes from Sammy. Been listening about 6 months. Love the show. Dealt with a lot of different stuff. And I trust super. Scooter put me back to sleep. I'm having trouble saying my own name. And if I can't fall back asleep, this helps. GDGHSEHBXGB from the UK does not. Loathes the podcast. They say it's horrible, dislike the voice, slurred words, takes everything, moving on. Sissy W0608 from the UK, most amazing podcast. Heart, dealt with the trouble sleeping, but this podcast helps as soon as my head hits the pillow. I'm a student with homework, family time, friends, and, you know, self-care to juggle, and that doesn't leave a lot for sleeping. Then I would get in bed at 9, couldn't fall asleep till 12. However, I started listening to this podcast, now I get a full 8 hours of sleep, perform better at school, have more time to spend on myself, and overall, so much happier and more fulfilled. That's the real goal of the podcast. San says, from Canada, says, it changed sleeping for me. Been an insomniac since I was a child because of this podcast, getting a full night's sleep. Thanks. Zoe says, from Canada, says, everything is okay. I used to get negative thoughts when I couldn't sleep. Same here. I hear you. This podcast holds my brain's hand and guides me where everything is okay. Thank goodness. Jack says, something about his voice helps me sleep. I have issues falling asleep. Use earplugs. I am asked. Found this podcast. Traded my earplugs for earbuds. Fall asleep in about 15 minutes. Thanks for the show. The Wise Owlet says, truly, I fall asleep during the intro. Voice, good nature, and good vibes. Best lullabies ever. Lifesaver, that's from Lizzie. Deal with racing thoughts, anxiety. Fall asleep within 10 minutes. Save my favorite episodes. Play them on repeats. Trigdon 77 says, unbelievable. First, I was skeptical, but dealt with a lot of insomnia. I would sleep 2 hours, wake up, couldn't fall back asleep. First night I put this on, I stayed asleep. I thought it was a fluke. Then I tried it again and again. Cracks me up when I'm awake, and then I fall fast asleep. I couldn't tell you about how it works. Thank you. Ginger Goodness 27 says, can't live without. Scoots' Boar Bud, best thing since rice bread, or spriced bread, spliced bread, and sliced bread. No pressure to fall asleep. It takes a few listens to get it and realize the podcast makes no sense. That's the point. Takes your mind off whatever's right, got you wrapped up. There are commercials, that's how we keep the show free. Let me ask you this, how do you think the podcast is free? It's his job. I wish I found this podcast years ago. Better than a noise machine, better than a TV. Peaceful and love it. Thank you. And I think we didn't do this. This is Finally Sleep. That's from PCAT in 1985. Works 99% of the time. The other 1%, just because I'm distracted by the brain bots. I also take tea, diffuse some lavender. Oh, no, that's a good one. Those are part of some of the things that I do. I cut the tea because of the pee. But Kate Mikey says, sleep with me, Scooter. Kindness, gentleness, zero schmaltz, sharp whip comedy. Oh yeah, we did. They want their subscription to Cogent Realtor. No problem. Thanks everybody for reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts. in iTunes. Sleep With Me exists because of direct listener support, either by people that become patrons and support the show on Patreon or people that support our sponsors. That's how we're able to bring the show free. Sleep With Me grows by people that share the show. You can see how to share it eventually when I put this up on our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com/share. And Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You know, when you're hearing this, it won't be a new podcast anymore. But one of the newest podcasts right now, coming just starting in March 2019, is Start With This, where Jeffrey and Joseph, from the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, create a podcast and creativity playground to help you put your ideas in motion. So, and it comes with little assignments. It's a podcast to help you create, to help you write and make something, anything, and then make something else. And you can find that at nightvalepresents.com or wherever you consume your podcast. Just search for Start With This. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. I'm here. I'm here all night. All right. Let me just tuck you in there. Oh, yeah. That's nice. Good night. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on... in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, in building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.